fighting for America.
The word is now that the Attorney General will resign today, and that he has served our country very, very well.
Wow.
The Attorney General will be submitting his resignation to the President.
Fighting for Idaho.
I don't know for sure who we're arming. I'm not sure that a year or 2 years from now, those weapons won't be turned on us. I'm very uncomfortable with what's going on there.
Fighting for you.
Good morning, Kevin. I just admire you to know that you keep doing the right things. Having you out there and promoting the things that you promote is sure a blessing.
Boise's Mr. Right, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award. Kevin Miller in the morning.
Stay on top and stay strong.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, we've talked about him, we've seen him, we've... Well, we'll hear from him now. A.J. Belukoff joins us now. Mr. Belukoff, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me here, Kevin.
You know, as I ask a lot of politicians this, you have a life, you're making a difference. Why jump into the political arena?
Well, you know, I've served on the Boise School Board for 17 years, and I've watched what our state and our governor have done to public education, the disinvestment, the erosion of local control. And I feel like the governor's office is a good place, particularly during the campaign, to change the direction that we're heading with regard to our public schools.
Is education the silver bullet big enough issue in a state that, you know, is red and R all the time to ask people, to encourage people, to motivate people to make that big change?
Kevin, I've been traveling all over the state and listening to people, talking to regular people, to just all kinds of folks. The number one issue is education. People want good schools. They realize that that has a big influence on the quality of our economy and the future of our state. So this is the number one issue.
There seems to be a lot of controversy, not only here in Idaho, but across the country, concerning how to fix it. Common Core has been brought up. Both candidates for state school superintendent endorse Common Core. Even educators that will tell me privately, look, there's a lot of good things, but we are concerned about some things with Common Core since we are focused on education. Your thoughts, sir?
I think your impression is accurate. The Common Core standards are good standards. They're higher than the standards we had under the No Child Left Behind law. The standards are very good, and I'm in favor of higher standards. There is some baggage that came with Common Core. The SBAC test is a very lengthy test, 8 hours long, proposed to be given through 3rd through 11th grade, all computer test. That's a very long test. So far it hasn't given a lot of good information back to teachers to inform their teaching. And then there's the issue of the overreach by the federal government on wanting information on our students. You know, they don't need all that information, but that kind of muddies the water a little bit. What we really need to be concentrating on is the high standards.
Okay, we'll get back to education here at 580 KIDO. Mr. Belukoff, you had a debate the other night with Mr. Bujak. Governor Otter wasn't there. Your reaction to the first debate of the year?
Well, that was my not only first debate of the year, that was my first debate ever.
Okay.
And it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed doing that. I enjoyed debating Mr. Bujak. He represents a constituency that, you know, there's a lot of people with that political philosophy, and I think it was important to have him there and hear him. And I appreciated the opportunity to present myself and to present my views on a lot of the questions that were asked during that debate.
The governor has made his case here and everywhere else that he's gotten us through the tough times. He's brought jobs. Everything is good. Why change horses, if you will? Your case, economically, if elected, that you can do better than Governor Otter?
Well, Kevin, he's painting a very rosy picture. But when you look at the facts, when Governor Otter took office, 9 states had lower per capita income than Idaho. Today, only 1 state has lower per capita income than Idaho. That's Mississippi.
Well, speaking of that, what would we do? There have been many states across the country that have tried to emulate the success of the Southerners with Mercedes and Honda and everything else, and they've offered these incentive packages. It's been kind of a mixed thing when it's come to jobs. Mercedes, Honda, Nissan, Hyundai, Kia, all in the Southern states. And then you've had Dell that was lured to North Carolina. That didn't blow up. So to bring jobs and to revive that standard of living, what would you do if elected?
Well, first of all, we have to get our schools on the right track. Schools have a direct impact on the quality of jobs. If we're not producing the workers that companies want to hire, they're not going to come here. But second of all, we need to change the governor's focus. Instead of trying to bring new jobs to Idaho, that focus ought to be on the jobs that are already here in Idaho. We have over 40,000 small businesses, and we know that 80% of job creation comes from small businesses. If the state were to concentrate on the businesses that are already here, the ones that pay high wages, and let's just say that 10% of those existing companies were to add one employee, that would be over 4,000 jobs statewide, spread all across our state. So I think those are the two things we need to do is improve our schools so we have graduates that are the kind of workers that companies want to hire. And second of all, let's focus on the companies that are here in Idaho and help them thrive and grow.
A.J. Belukoff with us here at 580-KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. He's running for governor. He's making his case to you right now, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We have a question from the ubiquitous Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. If nothing, he's not shy. Talking about his grandchildren in school. They have no textbooks to take home. Is that something that the state government would take a look at? You're intimately familiar with school funding of school supplies. You have parents paying a lot for pencils, paper, and everything else. And now we live in a technological age, and a lot of these kids don't have textbooks.
That's correct. That's a direct result of the cuts in funding. When funding has been cut so drastically, then districts are forced to cut someplace. And one of the places that every place looks at first is delaying textbook purchases. And you put that off, they may be good for a year or two, but after a while, history goes on and things change and textbooks get worn out. We need the funding. And even when you go with electronic, that still costs money. You have to buy subscriptions to the electronic textbooks. So you still need the funding to have supplies. And just think about that for a minute, that we are already paying taxes to fund our schools. And then on top of that, parents are being asked to chip in either supplies or money for supplies for the classroom. That says we are not funding schools appropriately.
If elected and you want the funding restored, where would the money come from? Because, you have the national perception of a Democrat where you're going to do certain things, whether it's taxes or the like, and then you have the Idaho version of a Democrat as far as the revenue. Where would that come from, sir?
Well, first of all, we need to eliminate the waste that we find in this administration. Governor Otter's administration has to defend themselves against lawsuits. The broadband contract that was let out illegally has cost us last year $11 million. I don't know how much it's going to cost us this year. The investigation at the prison, the scandal down south of Boise in the prison is costing us lots of money. We need to eliminate those kinds of scandals so we're not paying, we're not wasting taxpayer money. And then second of all is a change of priority. If you take a look at what Governor Otter proposed last year in his budget, he proposed over $100 million to be put in either a rainy day fund or some unspecified tax relief. I believe education is a higher priority than rainy day funds and tax relief when you've underfunded the schools. So I think you look there first. You look at eliminating waste. You look at changing priorities. Our state takes in, almost $3 billion in revenue. There's enough money there to fund our schools.
You sound like a Republican.
I'm a moderate, pragmatic guy.
I see. Well, let's continue on. Another issue that has been brought to the front by, however you define them, conservatives, what have you, within the Republican Party, are the lands. I'm sure you saw the debate that was a YouTube spectacle where we had the debate over lands. Is that something that you would get involved in, considering the feds do own quite a bit of our land here?
Well, a good portion of Idaho is owned. We say owned by the feds. Really, you know, we are part of the United States, and so we own those federal lands in partnership with the rest of the citizens of the United States. And I believe that model is really good because all of our partners around the United States help pay for the management and protection of those lands. I like to hike and camp and fish and go into the mountains as many Idahoans do. That's one of the reasons we live here in Idaho, is to have access to the wilderness and to the beautiful scenery that's in our state. I'd hate to see those lands locked up by private interests. People that are advocating taking over ownership or management of the federal lands admit that we can't afford to own those and that they would probably have to sell off some of those lands. That would turn them into private property, and very likely we'd be cut out of some of the places where we'd like to go and hike and camp and do the things we do up in the mountains.
On the other hand, you have a lot of proponents that say that you could open it up to timber and logging, and they point out that some of the fires could be prevented if the state properly managed those lands.
Well, that can be done under the current system. I'm in favor of local communities having a voice in the management of the lands, and I believe we can work with the federal land managers, the Forest Service, the BLM, to meet local needs and priorities. A good example is the Clearwater Basin Collaborative up in the central part of Idaho, where diverse groups have gotten together to propose management strategies for the federal lands up there. And I think we can follow that model in having a local voice in the management of federal lands.
580KIDO, obviously another big issue, the health exchange. Your thoughts on that, on how it was handled? And, you know, you have a lot of people that could be to your advantage that have been lifelong Republicans, very, very conservative, still mad at the governor for accepting the exchange. It was a big battle that was covered each and every day.
Well, that's one of the good things that Governor Otter has done, was accept the health exchange. I think that has helped a lot of Idahoans. I think the numbers I heard were 76,000 Idahoans have signed up for health insurance on the exchange. And my view is, as a small business owner, when I owned a chain of athletic clubs, I wanted to provide health insurance for my employees. But it was extremely expensive. We had 30 full-time employees. And it was just extremely expensive. And when I talked with the insurance companies about how we could bring that down, the reason our premiums were so high is we had a couple of employees with health histories. And they suggested if we were part of a larger risk pool, our premiums would come down. Well, the health exchange is a way to become part of a larger risk pool for individuals and small businesses. I think it's a good deal.
AJ Belukoff with us here, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO. You know, which is more daunting, running for governor, owning a hockey team, or dealing with the fitness industry? Those folks are unique, aren't they?
Hey, you know, those are all have challenges, unique challenges in their own way. The fitness industry, I had a lot of fun doing it, but let me tell you, the margins are small and the competition is great.
Right.
And it was a difficult industry to be in, but I turned around some athletic clubs, made them very profitable, and they were attractive to 24-Hour Fitness, who came in and purchased that chain from me.
Yeah, it's amazing. We have churches and gyms on every corner here, it seems.
There's a lot of them. And frankly, I'm glad I'm out of that fitness industry, because it looks like the competition has gotten even more stiff.
More coming up with AJ Belukoff.
Brian Wiley, weekdays at 6. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580KIDO, it is Kevin Miller in the morning here. AJ Belukoff joining us, talking about his campaign for governor in a state that is predominantly Republican. What's your plan for victory, sir?
Well, we will continue traveling around the state. We've got just over 5 weeks now. 5 weeks from Tuesday will be the election day. We've got some new ads coming out that will talk about the condition that our state is in. We'll mention things like when Governor Otter took office, 9 states had lower per capita income than Idaho. And today, only Mississippi has lower per capita income than Idaho, and Mississippi's gaining on us. We'll talk about the fact that our public schools are near the bottom in every just about every measure of success, and ask people, are you better off now or were you better off when Governor Otter took office?
Let's get back to that. What do you say to people that have fear? And as you know, many people that listen to this program, they have kids, grandkids. They want to live that same Idaho dream, that same American dream that they did, and they don't see that happening, whether it's the debt, whether it's the lack of opportunities. It breaks their hearts when their kids get an education here, and then they have to go to another state for a job.
And that kind of gets to the heart of why I'm running for governor. I have 33 grandchildren. I want them to have a good education. I want them to have good jobs right here in Idaho. And I want the rest of the people of Idaho to have good jobs. I want their children and grandchildren to have a good education. I want their children and grandchildren to have good jobs right here in Idaho so they don't have to move to other states. I think that's a pretty universal feeling as I travel around the state. And that's why I'm running for governor.
Are you concerned that you'll be positioned as a tax and spend liberal?
Well, that's been a proven record or a proven tactic in the past. I don't think it'll stick with me when they take a look at my record on the school board, when they take a look at the fact that, I supported Mitt Romney. I didn't support President Obama. I've always looked at the candidate more than the party. I consider myself to be a moderate, pragmatic kind of a person.
And do you think that plays in the polarizing political world that we live in today?
I think people are tired of the political infighting, the stalemate. It's the poster child for bad government right now is Congress. I think it's an overwhelming number of people believe that this is the worst Congress in their lifetimes, if not in the history of the United States. People are tired of the gridlock. We elect people to represent our interest to solve problems, to help get obstacles out of the way to prosperity, and that's not happening.
Many of the conservative critics have aired their displeasure on this program here at 580KIDO, saying there's cronyism. Do you buy that?
Oh, absolutely. Take a look at the way the school broadband contract was issued. It was given to the company that was not the low bidder. It was a connected company to the administration. And then the low bid company that didn't get the bid has sued, and that has prevented the Federal Communications Commission from paying what they would normally contribute to have a broadband brought to schools in America. And that's cost us money. And then you look at the scandal out south of town with Corrections Corporation of America, CCA, the private prison contractor, where the administration was not supervising that contract and making sure that the contractor was complying with the terms of the contract. And they billed the people of Idaho in 2012, for 26,000 hours that were never worked.
And yet no one reports on it.
Yeah, well, they did a little while, and it's been pretty quiet. The FBI is currently conducting an investigation, and I don't think they talk about their investigation until it's concluded. But I think a lot of the citizens of Idaho are interested to find out what that investigation is going to find.
How are you going to bring that to light based on the fact that the press, myself included, but the press will go, well, yes, we have the fight club in the prison, and a lot of people have been beat up, and we're going to get sued, and it's going to cost us a lot of money. Hey, let's go to the weather.
Well, people have to start talking about that and talking about what we're interested in. We are interested in open, honest government, and we haven't had that. So I'm going to talk about these scandals, and I'm pretty sure that some of the other candidates will too, and we're going to ask Governor Otter to explain why his administration was not supervising that, why he signed an agreement to hold CCA harmless before an investigation was undertaken.
Do you see your old friend Mitt Romney in an ad with Governor Otter? Because I do. Do you expect that?
You know, I think that's likely, and I would like to get a hold of Governor Romney and visit with him and let him meet me so that he doesn't put me in a box of, okay, here's another typical Democrat, because I don't believe that I am typical, certainly not of the national Democrats. I'm probably typical of an Idaho Democrat, which is a lot different than one of the national Democrats.
If elected, a lot of Republicans are going to say, oh, boy, it's payback. And they'll be on the outs. Do you pledge to work with them?
Oh, absolutely. We are elected to represent the people of Idaho. I've used the metaphor that what I observe going on in politics right now is like a sports contest where we pick our favorite team and we vote for the Republicans or the Democrats, and one of those teams is on offense, the other's on defense. When you're on offense, your objective is to score. When you're on defense, you keep the offense from scoring. That's the wrong model or the wrong metaphor. I think the more appropriate one is that of an orchestra. During the election time, we're all competing for seats in the orchestra. But once the election is over, we're in the orchestra. We should be working together to create beautiful music.
Speaking of beautiful music, are you concerned that we're going to see an ad, as we saw against Governor Otter by Senator Fulcher in the primary, morphing you into the president? The president not very popular here, and as a way of getting people off the issues, are you worried about that?
Well, we've already seen that with the IACI ad that came out. They had me and President Obama both wearing bow ties and both on the same page. But that didn't get any legs because people know that I supported Governor Romney. I didn't support
How does
President
that play
Obama.
With Democrats that you supported Mitt Romney?
Well, it caused some of them some heartburn, but we've talked that through, and they understand that until I decided to run for governor, I was not affiliated with a political party, and I felt that was important, being on the school board, to keep politics out of education. And so I purposely did not affiliate with a party and remained pretty independent so that I could keep partisan politics out of public education. And even now, I pay more attention to the candidate, to the candidate's integrity, to their competence, their background. And that's what I would encourage people to do, not get too hung up on party labels and assume things because of party affiliation.
All right. We have one person who was brave enough to talk to you today.
Okay.
Liberal Steve joins us at 580KIDO. Now, Liberal Steve, you better ask an intelligent question because you're on a short leash.
Hey, intelligence, my picture shows up in the dictionary when you look for the definition.
And humility, yes.
Good morning, Mr. Beluca.
Good morning.
Two things. First question, I want to rewind to the past when the Affordable Care Act was up and moving. And the state of Idaho and the governor chose to bring in a panel and run it through the state. And two of the very top paid individuals on that, of course, have left. One went to New Mexico. Would you have gone back to that time? Would you have wanted to go state handling the insurance, or would you have let the feds handle it? Question number two, on the last ag bill, our senators failed to vote in to get hemp okay to grow in the state of Idaho, which uses 80% less than any other water, used in 56,000 products in the United States, and we import the 99% of the majority of it. Would, if that came across your desk, would you veto that or okay that? I'll hang up and listen. Thank you, sir.
All right. Okay, I hope I can remember both questions. The first one was having to do with the Affordable Care Act, and would I prefer to have a state-run exchange or would I let the feds run that? My preference is always to have our state in charge of doing things like that, and we are actually moving to that. I think we got stuck with the federal platform because we took so long to get on board with the Affordable Care Act, even though it was passed in Congress and became the law of the land. My preference would have been to say, okay, it is the law, rather than try to repeal that law. Let's have the exchange run by our state. Let's have a state platform. That's where we're going. I think they've got I think the Exchange Board has got themselves organized now. They've had time to get that, and I think the going from October 1st on, we will be using a state platform instead of the federal platform, and that'll give us a lot more control over the exchange, which I think is preferable.
Final thoughts. We have a young lady wanting to know when you're going to be in Coeur d'Alene.
I'm going to be in Coeur d'Alene on October 3rd to debate Governor Otter. In fact, I think all six candidates for governor. Yeah, all six candidates for governor have been invited to this debate in Coeur d'Alene on October 3rd. So we'll be up there during, I think, the second, third, and that time frame.
I know you're a little disappointed that Harley and Walt will not be on that panel, but maybe our friend Pro-Life will be there.
Yeah, Pro-Life will be there.
Oh, yes. We'll just leave it at that. Thank you, sir. We appreciate it.
Okay.
We'd love to have you back.
Okay. Thank you very much, Kevin. It's been a pleasure to be here with you this morning. I enjoy these opportunities.
You're listening to 580KIDO.
One woman and stabbed a coworker on Thursday after being fired from the Vaughn Food Processing Plant.
But I'm going to tell you this. That's not my son.
There's something wrong with the world today.
There are many people who are upset about what happened in Ferguson and came here to protest peacefully.
The officer said that he was able to get a couple shots off.
Too many young men of color feel targeted by law enforcement. Guilty of walking while black or driving while black.
We're living on the edge.
Objective is clear, and that is to degrade and destroy ISIL.
We have no choice. These are barbarians. They intend to kill us. If we don't destroy them first, we're going to pay the price.
Making sense of a senseless world. Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
6:43, Kevin Miller in the Morning, and where do we really start, my friends? We have a statement from Joyce Nolan, the mother of the Oklahoma man accused of attacking two women and beheading one of them. She releases a video apology for the actions of her son, and we'll get to that. We also have, as we have alluded to on Facebook, and we do encourage you to, I'd like to be your friend on Facebook, give us a like, 580KIDO on Facebook, where you'll figure out kind of what we're doing before we do it in the morning. And sometimes when we don't do it, you'll know what we're doing. And the tease that I gave you is one major network is actually floating the Oklahoma beheading as a case of workplace violence. Now, as Dave Burnett talked about earlier, the news is bad. It's raining. The Broncos lost. You're thinking to yourself, Kevin, give me something happy. And I'm more than happy to play Pharrell's Happy all morning long. On the other hand, folks, is this not a wake-up call? At 580-5436, 580-KIDO, when's the last time, okay, outside of Phoenix with the narco-terrorists that are beheading people, when's the last time we had someone behead someone in the name of religion? And what the ISIS, the ISIL, and everybody else has figured out is that we will not bring the pain, the fear to them. They've infiltrated our great, beautiful nation because of our porous borders, our lax laws, our worthless standards when it comes to accountability. And we're not talking about San Francisco. We're not talking about New York City. We're talking about more Oklahoma still recovering from those devastating tornadoes. Folks, this is a situation that I've thought about for quite some time. This guy does not need to go through the legal process. A message needs to be sent. Firing squad? Yes. Looking at his mental outlook? No. Firing squad. Major Nadal Hassan? Firing squad. And I'm sorry if that's too brutal so early in the morning. But we need to send a message. And until we send a message, these folks are going to continue to run wild. Let's take a listen to Joyce Nolan, Mr. Nolan's mama. Okay, maybe we won't. Hate it when that happens. First off on the day, where we have operator error, actually machine error here at 580KIDO. We'll do our very best to get that up and working. But his mom already issuing an apology. Let's go to Tanya J. Powers with the wrap, and then we'll take your calls.
Alton Nolan's sister, Megan Nolan, says their family is in disbelief.
He's always been a people's person. He's never been a violent person, so...
He's always been a people person. We're talking about stabbing folks, telling them to convert, talking about stoning women. And my friends, as a conservative, God-fearing man, an American, a humanitarian, who in their right mind cuts somebody's head off? Who kills?
For something like this to have happened, and we're all still in shock.
He's accused of beheading a woman he worked with and stabbing another last Thursday after being fired at a food distribution center. Nolan recently converted to Islam and has brought on suspicions of fundamentalism with posts of anti-U.S. and Israeli sentiments online. Nolan and his second victim are expected to recover. Tanya J. Powers, Fox News Radio.
Well, we shouldn't even waste money on his recovery. He has to go. Jim in Middleton, good morning. You're on with Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Kevin. Hey, I wanted to weigh in real quick on that. I think it's a shame, and I think it's a crime that our government lies to the American people about how they define this type of violence, the Fort Hood, and now this is workplace violence. That's just ludicrous.
I can't believe anybody that took a look at this would even say that the guy had issues. It's because of his religion. It's because of his fanaticism, and he needs to go. And we're talking more Oklahoma. This could be in Oregon. This could be in Utah. This could be on our doorstep, Jim.
Exactly, Kevin. And I want to say this, but I want to emphasize this. I don't want to talk about vigilantism or taking the law into your own hands, okay? But these people obviously do not fear the United States government. And if I was a terrorist, I wouldn't either. So I hope there's a wake-up call to Americans. Arm yourselves, folks. Arm yourselves well. Learn how to use your firearms. And if these people do come over and trouble starts, you need to take care of it yourself, because they can't even name the crime or terrorism as terrorism. So these people are lying to you and misleading the American public.
And you're right. Jim, you're a hard worker. You've been someplace where somebody calls you out and you have to answer the challenge. They are calling us out, and unless we decide we're going to end this guy and send a message back, they're going to keep going. Look at Major Nadal Hassan. He's going to have a trial with his beard because we're worried about his rights.
Well, Kevin, exactly. And like I said, you know, American people need to become more self-sufficient in many different ways. Okay, we're just talking about pure survival here, because we obviously have a government that refuses to protect the American people. So everyone has a right, God-given or non-God-given right, to protect themselves. So I advocate that in the fullest. And again, I'm not talking about taking the law into your own hands or becoming a vigilante. Government is doing us absolutely no justice. They lie to us in every single turn. So people need to wake up and be aware. And I think that will strike 10 times more fear in these terrorists' eyes, because I'm not going to roll over. I guarantee you that. These people want to come over here with a blade, they're going to get a couple of caps. Anyway, Kevin, I don't want to sound too stern, but
I think you have to. I think you have to.
So anyhow, thanks for the conversation, Kevin.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate that.
You bet. Have a good day.
All right. We appreciate it. Ray, I think that's good enough. I think that should make one of the new promos that you always brilliantly produce. I like the comments of Jim, where he's talking about if they come over with a knife, you cap them. And everybody's a tough guy. They're beheading people in Oklahoma. Have we reached our limit? 580KIDO, we go to Gene and Cuna. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning, my friend. Well, I got to agree with Jim. He's right. And I've read the Quran cover to cover, and there is nowhere in that Quran that says that the Muslim faith is to be tolerant of anybody. It says that, and I quote, that if people of other faiths, do not accept the Muslim way, they are to be stoned, beheaded, disemboweled, and their head is to be hung on a spear. Now, that's a quote from the Quran. Does that sound like a tolerant book to you?
No.
So You know, Jim is right. And where I live out of CUNA here, there's a subdivision behind me about a mile that is 30% Muslim. And I have actually had people come to my door and try to spread the quote-unquote love of Islam. And when I pull out my combat knife and ask them very politely to leave, they get really, really belligerent. And finally, I had to roll one guy off my porch because it just, they would not leave unless I agreed to do as they ask. Now, the only reason I've never shared this is because this really wasn't a topic. So, broke his nose, broke his jaw, law enforcement come, yada, yada, yada. On my property, he's going to leave. On his back, on his feet, I don't care. And they've never been back since, and neither has anybody else. But everybody out where I live is armed to the teeth. They are terrified of these people because of everything going on. Now, if they want to do this in their own country, then kick the rear ends out of here, send them back to Sandland, and let them do all their barbaric garbage over there. But as long as the United States of America, which the country I love, the
right.
cabinets, not so much. I would rather leave them than take them, but we're kind of stuck with them. So
Gene,
what do you do?
Gene, thank you for the call, brother.
I meant right.
580 KIDO traffic. Good morning, Dave.
Back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, quickly to Ricky. Good morning, Ricky.
Good morning. How are you today?
Well, Ricky, we're up against it. Can you hang on or do you want to yap real quick? Because I've got to get to traffic and we love you, so.
I just wanted to tell you congratulations for your spectacular award, so I guess I can hang on.
All right. Well, hang on there, Ricky. Darn, she just gave away the content. All right. Quickly, Dave Petzo's coming up, plus Fox News on the radio, plus more about this workplace violence beheading incident. Do you believe it? Not a chance. Serving Meridian.